I'm shaking it up on Friday. Woo! Happy Friday! Woo! I need to save some. Oh, there's a big streamer in there too. Wow. This is full of more things than I knew was in there. There's all kinds of large sizes and small sizes. And
we have confetti in my hair.
We confettied you today. Oh my gosh, it's Friday. Oh, I have confetti in my honey. Okay.
I didn't even know it was Friday.
I didn't. It's 100 and nasty outside and it's Friday. And we are here and we are talking to Lisa Marie Smith today, who is a woman of many talents. We were talking before the show and before Andy got here too. We were talking about her and Ann Martinez being the two hardest working women in Vegas. Would you not agree? I want to hear the audience. Snaps. They don't have to do claps. You can do snaps, whatever you feel
Ann
like doing.
Ann is definitely the hardest working woman.
You guys are. When I first caught up with you, and we'll get to that, but when I first caught up with you, when I saw you finally in Pinup too, I was like, you are literally a woman all over the city. And trying to get her on this show, first of all, everyone, this is as hard as it was to get Matt Goss, which I still haven't gotten. So Matt, you're welcome to come on. Saw you're on the other day on... are you scared? I'm spinning on myself.
That's hilarious.
Lisa's scared. No, Matt comes to DW regularly, and I had talked to them about getting him on here. So we'll get to the weekend roundup, but Matt's closing up his show at the Gossy Room.
Yep.
In September, yeah. So, oh, Scott, it just had a little moment over there. Well, Scott's been in Mexico. He's not been a part of the news lately.
Yeah. I think he's going to stay, though.
Oh, yeah, there we go. He puts himself on the show. And he has a new intern now, too. Hey.
I think he's going to stay in town.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. And we'll talk about why I love his show particularly and why I love the show you're in right now, too. But so it's Friday. So before we have a weekend roundup, we're talking about the weekend last because we had gone to see your show before the weekend started. We came to see your show on Thursday night last week.
I don't even know.
You don't remember. I know. It's a blur.
It's a blur.
She's been in rehearsals. She had media night on Tuesday.
Tuesday. We had opening night on Saturday.
That's when I came. I came Saturday.
Saturday.
We went to Idaho on Friday.
Oof.
Saturday was your show. Idaho. First of all, Keith Thompson did a great job in this show. This show was so much fun.
I'm seeing it this week.
You're seeing it this week.
Yeah.
So it still plays. So if you're watching this now, go see it. It still plays through Sunday at the Smith Center. It's a laugh. I mean, the funniest thing about the show is that if you start laughing at one joke, you'll miss the next one because it's full of jokes.
Good.
So they got us in that we had a nice box that night. We went to the show for house seats. It was a trip. I mean, I'm so proud of them for writing an original musical here in Vegas.
Yeah.
That they're hoping to take to Broadway.
And I hear there's a big script too.
It's
not just music or dancing. They have like text, which is great. Yeah.
Well, the gentleman who wrote it, does anyone know off the top of your head his name? Andy. Wah, wah.
I
could look on my iPad. That would be why I have technology in front of me. Buddy. Yes. It is Buddy. He wrote the show and he put it on at one of the New York Fringe Festivals in 2008. And they loved it and they gave him positive feedback. So he went back to writing and his wife kept telling him, I remembered everything about the show, just not his name, but I read in the program that he put it at the Fringe Festival and it got really good responses. Then his wife told him, just keep writing it. And so he met up with Keith. And the two of them together embarked on this journey do that. We're going to talk to Keith next week about it, too.
Love him. He's
but
such
the cast is fun. I mean, it is, you know, we brought a friend of mine who wasn't, you know, she loved Oklahoma and she was from Idaho and she,
that was convenient.
She got all the jokes, all of the jokes about the potatoes and the things like that. But no, it was actually really, it was really well written.
I can't wait to see it.
And the music is, you know, the test of a good show is if when you go in the bathroom and you're humming the tune while you're peeing.
That's so true. Earworms.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it honestly has a really catchy score.
Which is hard for musicals to do, is to have catchy scores. So,
and modern ones, too, when you think about it, because they really is a throwback, like in Oklahoma. It's a definitely throwback kind of show.
Yeah.
Because it pays homage to, you know, shows of that past, so.
Speaking of throwback shows.
Throwbacks.
What a convenient segue. That's like Baz. Baz is such a throwback show.
I was listening on the way here on my Broadway radio, and they were playing Cabaret, and I came in like running after Lisa when I came in here and said, you need to play Sally Balls. Sally Bowles. I keep saying Sally Balls.
Sally Balls.
But I always call him Sally Balls.
Sally Balls.
Fraudine Sally Balls.
Sally Balls.
No, I know. Sally Balls. You know, you could play that role really
be
well.
Fun. Yeah.
But how very much like Cabaret Moulin Rouge, you know, any of the Candor and Ebb, very represented in sort of the Baz Luhrmann sort of feel, because, you know, you have the MC come out for your show.
True.
Very much like the beginning of the movie Moulin Rouge, which incidentally, I think I told you when you came to DW later, we had to go home and watch Moulin Rouge that night after watching
yeah,
the show.
Yeah, that's what you said. You were like, I had to go home and
I forgot it. Yeah. I forgot it, but you're so captivated in the show about, you know, the whole Baz Luhrmann and all the music, even Romeo and Juliet and Strictly Ballroom and things like that, which we'll get to Baz. But we did see that. We caught up that. There was my tickets.
Look at that.
And we had a couple pictures we did take because they didn't shut us down from taking photos.
You're actually allowed to take, they call them moving photographs and regular photographs.
Well, it's smart. I mean, you guys did an amazing job. The set's awesome. The costuming, amazing. And so you're chronicling, you know.
Oh, look at that. That's a great photo.
Yeah.
There I am.
I love it. Our costumes are so much fun.
The costumes are beautiful.
You guys, and the musicians are amazing.
There's some of
your
the
band,
best.
Your musical director is from
MDQ. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris Lash.
Super cool. I mean, the whole entire group. We were just sitting there, not knowing what to expect, because the last time we were in that showroom at the Palazzo, we saw Panda.
Oh my God! You could not be anymore.
We were waiting to see if there was one more lingering in the background.
No.
But yeah, there we go. But no, the way they redid the showroom is amazing. It's they built it very much. I didn't realize there probably are a lot more seats than you think there are, because they have sort of, you know, the tables like they have at the old school showrooms or at Cabaret Jazz at Smith Center. Like Jay and I sat at a table, literally, right? I mean, you see where we sat. That's where we sat. Front and center, straight on. You didn't realize I was going to be there and you saw us in the audience,
like,
right?
Oh, there you are.
Right in the front.
They actually designed the new space for Baz, for the record, the company that puts it on. And they had an immersive concept that they wanted, you know, the audience to feel like they were in the space with them. And it's really hard to do in a large space is to make it feel intimate. And I think that they succeeded in that.
Oh, totally. I mean, you know, when you're talking about immersive, when you go to the show, don't be late. Okay.
No, don't be late.
And don't go to the bathroom during the show, because honestly, I sat there and I was like, I can't go to the bathroom because you guys are coming down at any given moment. You're part of the audience. And it's the most amazing part of seeing that show, because fourth wall removed, the idea that you're part of it, and they're not pulling you up. Don't be worried about that. And they're not making you dance yet.
Yet.
But you're literally right in front with the talent.
Yeah.
You can hear them sing right there on their mic. I mean, it's all live. Oh my gosh.
There's seats on stage too.
Yeah,
I
saw those.
So
we want to come see it next time, sitting up on the stage and be a part of it. Because why we brought our confetti today is because I really want to spray. I feel like that's what it needs, is a little spritz. There we go. Got a little more out of there. I knew you had more to give.
Yes. Absolutely.
I don't know what you're talking about. Thank you. Just keep pulling it. Would you like a toast real fast?
Yes.
There you go. Cheers.
I'm so happy I finally came on.
I know.
On. Finally.
It's so hard to get her on here.
I love that we're drinking out of these.
These are...
pinky up.
So Scott thought we'd like press Honey, I Shrunk the Champagne Bottle. You know, we sell these at DW Bistro. Plug for DW Bistro. They're delicious.
Which I was there last week.
Which you were just there having brunch the other day. I love it. Oh. I don't even have to ask. And he knows what to do. I can say anything. What do you want me to post? What do you want me to put up there? Let's just
in
careful.
All seriousness,
I'm just kidding. Yeah.
That's my by far my favorite place
in the city.
It really is.
Thank you.
Like all my friends, we all love to go there. And you guys are moving?
We are moving. We are moving after mid-September into the Gramercy. So we're still open, people. We're not closed. I did hear from people that, you're closed. We close probably like mid-September and open by October 1st at the new space. So
that's awesome.
So we can invite you to come perform there if you're not too busy already. Bring people
I've
here.
Already done that.
We should probably do a little Baz night out there at the Gramercy. Maybe
Do
like a little shtick and then hire you guys out there to do a corporate gig.
Do you remember when I used to play on your couch and sing for the patrons coming
Yes,
in?
You did. So she was there joined by her then partner, Paul. He would play acoustic guitar and she would sing.
Yep.
And when Paul was here, we told him, I said, I'm sorry you lost your gig because we needed the couch for patrons because we got too busy in there.
My favorite thing was like one day we were like, trying to sing, and he was like playing because there's so many people. We're like, okay, we need
it. Happened, and I felt so bad because I remember people would like not, I'd say, go sit on the couch, and nobody would want to sit by you guys. I'm like, they're not going to bite you. They're just, strumming the guitar and singing randomly. And it was quiet in there. It wasn't so, you know, the dim wasn't, it wasn't so noisy.
Right.
And then of course now we have DJs and we have the other room open. The couch has been moved over to a corner.
I mean,
it's very much like I told him it's a party there like this every Sunday. So it's kind of tough to hear you guys, but maybe in our new spaces, we can talk about that.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Lisa Marie's career, because when we first met, as we discussed at top of show, even still, we met even before DW, which was over 6 years ago. We met at all before All Shook Up when I did that show for Signature Productions over at the Summerlin Library.
Yeah, we have community theater.
We were in the community
together. Experience. Yeah, I've been here.
Yeah. How long have you been here?
Almost 20 years. Hmm. God, that's crazy.
Sorry,
to
I
say
just
out
ate
loud.
Confetti. Go ahead. Honey, yes.
I mean,
honey, yes. Yeah.
It's
gotcha. Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. It's. Mm-hmm. I've been here almost my whole life.
Yeah.
And
it's an amazing city, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm happy that you're still here. You know, in that sense.
I wouldn't picture myself having a home anywhere else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe one day, but.
Well, so many performers we have on here who come from other cities who only think they're going to be here for a brief moment.
Sure.
You know, I think when one of the first interviews we did was with Tina Walsh, who when she in our audition for. Jubilee. Mm-hmm. She was coming just for a minute.
That's what they all say. Mm-hmm. You're always coming just for a minute.
And you make a home and you embrace the community. I mean, you know, and Lisa knows everybody in town. Like literally, if you have a conversation with her about something, she knows what's happening.
I try.
But that's good because you're like, you have a pulse on what's happening here. Mm-hmm. And that's so helpful because then for you as a business yourself of auditioning and going for the next show and the next opportunity, you have a leg up knowing I know what's going on.
Yeah. I really like that the community is so, it's a community of like, you know, in all sense of the word, everyone knows each other. Everyone supports each other. Everyone's happy for each other's success.
Right.
If I can't do a gig, I refer somebody else.
Yeah.
If somebody else can't, they refer me. And I love that kind of, you know, relationship with fellow performers.
Yeah.
And another thing I love about Vegas is you get to have like a suburban life in a big city.
Yeah.
So after all of the craziness of our shows and going out and partying or meeting people for drinks or media or radio shows, I get to go to my home and just kind of,
you can turn it off.
Yeah. I get to turn it off and be in nature. And I get to go on the lake and I get to canoe on a lake in Las Vegas, which you're like, who does that?
Right.
So I love that about the city and my family's here. And
that's one of the things that I'm most impressed about you is because, you know, we do all see each other out and about all these different events and even in John Katz, who lives in my building, and we always tease each other.
I'm like, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's so funny because I'm like, where am I going to see you tonight? Which one are you going to? Where are you going at? So it's this whole like, you know, process of like, what do we get to do out in the world? And then you're out. Oh, Scott's coming over. We get to go and have these moments. And I see half your Facebook postings would be you doing things out and half of them would be you like, I'm out just chilling. I'm riding a bike. I'm in Red Rock.
Yep.
I'm hiking. I'm doing things. Or I'm at DW Bistro getting a brunch on. That's what I love about it. You're right.
Yeah.
People haven't said much about that before.
That's my favorite part of living here. And, I, you know, having a home. And I love like remodeling and redecorating houses.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's cool to have
a dual
life.
Do you watch the Property Brothers?
Of course I do.
Because you know they live here part-time.
JD is a friend of mine, one of the brothers.
Nice.
There's Jonathan and Drew, and then JD is their younger.
They have very big slides in their backyard.
Yes.
They live right down the street from my mom, so I always pass their house and see their big slide going down their house.
Yeah, they're good people.
Hi, Property Brothers.
Hello.
That's Keely out there. She does makeup during Property Brothers. Are we allowed to talk about that? Okay, fine. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's like
they're
another
good guys.
Thing. There's so many really great people here and successful people and...
Yeah,
it's cool to know everyone.
Well, and we've had the luxury of having Lisa Marie in our House Seats stuff, in our House Seats Presents things. She was in Slippery and Wet back when we first did it at Vinyl. Oh, there's some pictures. We're having some little technical difficulties on our screen, but you at home probably seen something nicer. And then you also performed in our Amy Winehouse show at the beginning of this year,
which
was so fun.
That was such a great, that one.
That is such a great show.
It was amazing. And Brooklyn Bowl is such a great space. And I love doing concerts like that because you get to finally like do something creative other than what you've been doing every day in your normal job.
Yeah.
And I love that you guys put on those shows. Such a great concept. And then Monday's Dark, which
was Monday's
the other
Dark
photo
with Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Mark's a great friend of mine
who has a new space and
there's
a preview of it tonight.
I know. I really want to see it. I can't, but
you have to work.
Yes.
The Baz.
Such is the life.
It's the Baz.
But I love stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I don't consider that like philanthropy. I consider it just community, you know, celebration, but I also like,
I like that.
I also like to give back in the community. And one of my best friends, I don't know if you know her, Palita Dinesh.
I don't think so.
She does this thing called Positively Arts Foundation.
Okay.
It's a nonprofit where she like has all of the kids work with working, you know, entertainers in the community, and then they get to perform with them on stage. So I do stuff like that.
Positively Arts.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, look that up.
Yeah,
online.
Jeff Civilico.
Jeff. Win-win. We had Jeff on here. Positive. He talked about his win-win organization real briefly.
It's
but
very
Positively
similar,
Arts. Okay.
But for kids.
Yeah.
And I love doing stuff like that. That's part of the community. I enjoy.
Well, I grew up in this town too. I was born and raised, and I think that we had an amazing. I had an amazing choir teacher who won like a Disney Teacher of the Year award, and always was about keeping the arts in the schools and keeping people and keeping kids interested, because that's where it starts. And it's funny that you said that. So Ira, who takes photos for our shows, he was at DW the other day with his niece visiting from Connecticut or something.
Oh.
And so we were talking about set list. Yeah. And we were talking about it, and she asked me, and she was very quiet, but she lit up when I was talking about Amy Winehouse and that we did a show, paying homage to her. And she was like, well, when are you going to do that again? Or are you going to come to Connecticut? She didn't say almost, two words at the table. She was very excited about the fact that someone would do a show about Amy Winehouse and about the music and the musicianship of the show. And what's different about our shows, which I will mention, as we did last week when we were on, was we had Sarah Hester Ross in here.
That girl.
She's a trip. Hi, Sarah. I know you're watching, girl. I know you're having a cup with
like
us right now.
Redhead power. She's
she's
so fun. Girl.
My uncle was here with her, and my uncle he worked for Van Halen for 5 years.
Cool.
And so obviously doing the Van Halen set list, what he was most impressed about our guitar player, Mike, was that it didn't feel like Mike was trying to copy Eddie Van Halen or anything. It was truly Mike as a musician playing the music.
I love that.
From a place where he probably was playing it at home.
Sure.
Just figuring it out. Yo, there's our crew. Oh, Lord have mercy.
Oh, look at that.
Look
hey,
at her
Sarah.
Face. We were talking about Tori Amos set list. Andy wasn't here. Clearly, he'd have been like, no, we're not doing that. Because we were all like, get your razor blades out.
I really like the concept of doing, from beginning to end set list of a particular band or a musician or singer. I think that's a cool concept.
Well, because when you really think about an album that you love, because I was looking this up yesterday randomly. I was trying to figure out where Katie Tunstall is these days.
Dude, she is like that.
She's blowing up.
Yeah.
For in other countries mostly, but I mean, her song was very famous on Devil Wears Prada and a Walmart commercials.
Black Horse?
Black Horse and a Cherry Tree, that was popular, but her that Devil Wears Prada song, like, it'll come down. Her face is a map of the world. Is a map of the world. Whatever it is.
Beautiful girl.
Whatever that song is, she made, like, Goosey's gonna like that song. But when you're talking about that, because I bought that album, as most people did, based on a song, right? Mm-hmm. You go online and it tells you on iTunes. Yes, I still buy on iTunes. I don't free stream stuff because I like to support musicians. Basically, I bought the album based on that one song. Suddenly I See is the name of the song. But I listened to the whole album, and the album is amazing.
Yeah.
And everyone has a different reaction to songs. Like, I think one of the biggest reasons I hit Andy up to do Alanis Morissette in the beginning is that I love the song Forgiven, which is like number 6 on the track or something. It's a very much like, how as Catholic girls can be. It's a very sad song from her growing up, but that album, every song, what I loved most about that set list and subsequent set list is because everyone has a different reaction to a song on an album.
Absolutely.
You can have which we're starting a hit list as well, where it's the hits of a person, but when you really look at an album overall, what songs probably most spoke to them as well. They might have written a song that got catchy, like that Devil Wears Prada, or like, it ended up on a Walmart commercial,
right?
Just because the tune is catchy. But it's the fact that the album itself has so much on it that can speak to an individual, and they might be in the room when we're doing the show and have a reaction to it that no one else can have, because no one is usually going to do that song. Sometimes not even the artist when they go and do their tour, because they're not really sure who's listening to that particular song.
And I love that. It's just such a brilliant concept.
Yeah.
So I'm happy you guys do that.
Thanks.
Yeah.
And even in what you do in your show, and I apologize if I'm a little bit not knowing, but I have watched Romeo and Juliet over the years, not in a while. Like I said, I just watched Moulin Rouge the other day. Strictly Ballroom is also one of his, as well as
Great Gatsby.
And so the music, is it all from those movies, or are there pieces that, because there's songs that I know, but I'm like, is it in that movie?
Yeah, they intertwine it. So like Perhaps, Perhaps, Perhaps.
Yeah.
yes, strictly ballroom, but Christian from Moulin Rouge sings that song, or the character inspired by Christian, inspired by all these, you know, different characters from the movies. So every song in that show is from one of the soundtracks of Baz's movies. So I think that's really cool. And they intertwine them and then they make, you know, duets out of things that weren't duets. And it's very collaborative and interesting how they designed the show. So
how was the process for you? Because I know it had been closed for a while and it reopened at the Palazzo. What was the audition process like for you, you know, leaving Pinup and going into doing this show? What was the audition process like for you to do this show?
Okay, so this is actually kind of crazy. Baz was my first audition since I had gotten Pinup. So I hadn't auditioned in over 3 years.
Wow.
And I had remembered seeing the show previously with a friend of mine, Jason Tanzer. And I finished watching the show. We kind of just sat there dumbfounded. And I was like, I looked at him. I'm like, I'm going to be in the show.
Yeah.
I have to be in the show. And I manifested it and I was just waiting for forever. Brandon Nix is good friends with the production team. And he was like, I know it's going to come back. Just like, wait, wait, wait. So when the audition finally came up, I was like, I'm going. And Barbara Lauren from, she was the casting director here. She like reached out to me and she's like, I think you'd be perfect for this.
Yeah.
So I went in and I was so nervous because I have not auditioned in years. And that's a skill.
Right.
And the second I walked in the room, the nerves went away. Cause I just,
you were home.
Yeah. I sang Kissing You from the show, which is one of my favorite songs of all time. And I have a Shakespeare background from college. So I had to do that. And everything just felt so seamlessly easy.
Right.
And a lot of times in auditions as an actor or as a singer, you try to fit what they're looking for.
Yeah.
I didn't have to do that. It felt home.
Yeah.
And
it felt right for you.
Yeah. Especially with the whole vintage thing, but they still have like an edginess to the score. And it's like a perfect blend of what I like to do.
Yeah.
So it was a good fit.
You know, when Reva Rice was on here, she was talking about how she roller skated for so long in her life and never really meant anything to her until she got the audition to do Starlight Express.
Hilarious.
And how fitting it is for you. Like you're saying, you have a Shakespeare background and feel at home in a setting where normally people would clam up or just want to, I need this job.
I want to do the job.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I always stress, like Vegas sometimes, or just, I guess, in general cities, people come in and they're like, it's just a job. I need to get a job. I need to gig. It's a gig. That's not how it is for me. This is like a career and a lifestyle. Yeah. And the show is so creative and it hits me in a gut way.
Well, you can tell that about your show. And for those of you watching who don't know, you know, and we have some amateur video we're not going to show, but I think because we don't want to ruin what it really needs to be for you is to go and immerse yourself in Baz, because the thing about the show, and that's your co-star, Joanna.
No, that's Tiffany.
Tiffany. Coco?
No, that's Tiffany O'Connor. She's from Australia.
Oh, from Australia.
Sweet girl.
I'll say girl.
She's an Aussie.
Joanna Jones. I just put all the three names together because that's how she's on Facebook.
That girl. God,
she opened her mouth. I got goosebumps all up and down my back.
We do it daily. Yeah. Like that woman, she's a superstar.
Yeah.
And she's actually, I believe
you can tell that.
Oh yeah. I believe she's going to Broadway.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say that.
You kind of watch her when you're thinking about how people back in the day probably reacted when they first saw like a Barbra Streisand perform somebody going, cause everyone in the audience that I was sitting with all was like, the lady next to me, she was like, who's that?
Yep.
I don't know. Who is she? And I started crying cause I cry all the time. I'm such a sap. And Jay looks over at me and my eyes are just welled up, but you know, she did, I have to remember the song. Over
the Love.
Yes.
Ugh. But and then Everybody's Free.
Yes. That's, oh my gosh.
I know. And it's really humbling to be surrounded by talent of that caliber. She is probably the greatest singer I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, the Romeo, LJ, he's only 19. But
he looks young. He looks like a young Leo when you watch him.
Absolutely.
Like, am I watching this? I have to go home and watch that movie too, because I haven't seen it in so long. But you're looking at him going, he's like this young Leonardo.
And he's a brilliant actor.
Yeah.
And so just to be surrounded by so much talent.
Yeah.
I was telling my friend Carrie Ann, she saw Carrie Ann Park, saw the show yesterday. And I was like, I feel like there's no weak link. And then I'm like, wait a minute, if there's no weak link, am I the weak link?
No.
Is it me? Am I the...
I think for the show, you walked in and we never took our eyes off the stage and you guys the entire time.
It's very
And you don't
ensemble.
Even realize time goes by. You're like, can you keep going? Keep going. We don't even know that it's over.
I love
you're like,
that.
What's happening? why is it over? Why, can we watch more? Can you keep singing?
And then when it's over, you're like, I want to see that again.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the whole point of, you know, of creative artistic experience. Yeah. You want to go back and experience something different about the show. And I feel like with Baz, you can go back 100 times, regardless of if you've seen the shows or the movies or not.
Yeah, no, I think even if you've seen the movies, it does, it you know, Gatsby I've seen once, and I'm not sure I've even seen the whole thing, but I think when you see this movie, when you see the show, you want to go home and watch those because, but they don't compare to a stage version that reacts right in front of you.
Yeah.
Seeing, even as much as I love Nicole Kidman, and as we all wanted to be Ewan McGregor at one point, your guys', all your talent surpasses them with doing it on, because you're literally feeling it for real. You all do. Now that's what I was going to ask you about the songs in the show. Are they in the movies too? Is that Lana Del Rey song in?
It's in the soundtrack.
It's in the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
Will You Still Love Me?
Yeah.
Ugh.
I'm like, start to sing.
I know. No, you can sing. You're allowed to do that on our show.
I'm good.
You can sing. You're like, I'm going to save my voice for Bass.
Saving my voice.
At the Palazzo. At 7:30? 7:30.
Or Dark Mondays.
6 nights a week. Dark on Mondays. So yeah, definitely get over there. We were also going to talk about, I was going to talk to you about your other things that you do here in town too, because like I said, you and Ann Martinez, hardest working people in Vegas talking about this, you're in a band. You have a band.
Yeah.
You have a group that you would perform with even if you weren't on stage.
Yeah. With this new show and closing Pinup, when I was doing Pinup, and that show vocally was very demanding.
Yeah.
So I couldn't do as much as I wanted to with my band just because I was singing so much.
Yeah.
So now that that's closed and now that I'm done my crazy rehearsal schedule, I want to get back into, you know, my band, and it's interesting. I constantly want to be recreating myself. Yeah. I want to go wherever the wind blows when it comes to what music is, you know, speaking to me at the time.
Sure.
And last year I was in a more like 80s rock vibe, which is what that photo was. We performed, we opened Life is Beautiful.
Okay.
And I opened.
That's no small thing.
Yeah,
hello.
The Lemonheads were
nice.
Starting the.
Very cool.
And so I got to be the opening act for that, which was amazing. Friend of mine, Rayhan, who used to.
Yeah, who used to put on the show for the first 2 years. Yeah.
He reached out to me and he's like, I think it would be perfect for you. So that was a really great experience. I want to start writing again.
Yeah.
Adele is a huge inspiration to me, and I really want to start doing stuff similar to her.
Yeah.
A little more of a vintage flair to it.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to just figure out the next step for me.
Yeah.
I constantly want to be recreating myself and doing something different and better and better and better.
Well, there's a home for all of you guys in the sense, and I know we have limited time, but I know that, you know, when we talked about the beginning of the show, but I think even before the show started too, about Matt Goss closing the show too, you know, his showroom, and particularly the way Palazzo built out the showroom for Baz, it's very much immersive. It's very much feeling like you're part of the show. Mm-hmm. It's very much feeling you can connect with the performers in a way that a lot of the larger shows miss that. Because of what you can do. And so as you're talking about it, and I know with the closing of Frank Marino's show, maybe he'll find another home in a smaller space or whatever, where you guys can still keep that intimacy of a showroom.
Correct.
That you can create that. I mean, I know with Anne's show, with Alice, when she's at Brooklyn Bowl, and we've seen her at Vinyl, we've seen her a couple places doing that. You know, the immersive part of it
is so important.
Is so important.
Absolutely.
And so vital for a show to capture the audience in a way where they don't feel disconnected from it at all.
Right.
They feel like they just went through, you know,
the
entire experience with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They even went through rehearsals in their mind with you when they watched you. I mean, some people have because they've chronicled you and watched.
Right.
And known how busy she is from going. Like, ladies and gentlemen, she also has a little twist in her ankle down here too from the show. Because that does it to you in life.
Yeah.
We only deal with hangovers, problems, and hernias.
Oof.
But
and
damn IKEA. But I think that we have a responsibility as a group, you know, to be able to continue to support what you guys are doing.
Thank you for saying
that. And Mark, you know, for the last couple minutes, we're going to throw out some things. Congratulations to Mark Chinook for his space. It's called The Space. And he's going to be killing it over there with some performances to let people know what's going on. It's over there behind the Mandalay Bay out there. We also want to take a moment to remember those in Nice. This is the closest thing I had to you, France.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't.
Well, this is also for you, for Moulin Rouge and for Baz. This is my Paris shirt, Forever 21. But for Nice and for those affected, I hate to have these moments on the show because we had one not too long ago for Orlando. And I feel like, hello, timer. Thank you very much. It's super sad to continue to see what's happening in our world, but that's why we continue to have to spread the love and positivity that we can.
I was about to say that. Yeah. That's the whole point of, you know, being a
and
creative.
Having shows. And
yep, you get to escape and experience love and something that you're passionate about. And just for even an hour and a half, go and immerse yourself in music and make your heart happy. So
and make people smile and make people feel love. So this is to all of you to continue to feel love.
To love.
There you go.
To music. Bye.